I'm going to be very ambitious tonight and try to cover one verse with you this evening. Actually, it's not even the whole verse. It's just part of verse. What verse is it? I'll find it here in a second. Verse 12. That's going to be our focus, the phrase, the opening phrase of verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. I've found it helpful sometimes to slow down and to just camp out on one verse or a short phrase and really try to mine some of the depths of what's being said. Other times it's helpful to get a big picture, but tonight we're going to slow down and narrow in our focus, and I trust that the Lord will use this portion of His Word for us this evening. I'm going to go ahead and read most of 1 Timothy 6 to give the context. And so please give your attention now to the Word of God. And once again, there is a simple outline if you'd like to use that to follow along. So I'll pick up at the new section in the middle of verse 2 of 1 Timothy 6. Hear now God's Word. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil superstitions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. That's where we'll end the reading of God's Word. Let's stop and ask for His help and blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to hear it once again this evening, to focus our thoughts on what you have to say to us, to come away from the world and the challenges and distractions and duties to hear from you, and I ask that you would give us ears to hear. I pray that, Lord, your word would be sweeter than honey and the greatest treasure. I pray that it would revive our hearts. I pray, Lord, that the words that are now spoken and the meditations of our heart, of our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight. And so, Lord, speak to us now. Give us ears to hear. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible uses many different metaphors for the Christian life. Walking, marriage, being branches in a vine, pilgrimage, running a race, sheep following a shepherd, and you can probably think of other metaphors as well. But there's one that I think is often forgotten and overlooked, and that is the metaphor of warfare. The Christian life as a fight, a difficult and dangerous struggle. Past generations more often spoke of the church militant and the church triumphant. And there's good reason to do so. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 is one of them. It says, "Fight the good fight of the faith." Now that may catch us off guard, because we often don't think of the Christian life that way. We expect or want our lives as Christians to be more easy, comfortable, more blessing than battle. Or even if we know better, and I think most of us do, deep inside we can easily just want to relax and coast. We can want ease. We want God to save us and use us, but not ask us to work so hard or suffer, to fight. I think a lot of times we're longing for the Garden of Eden. And yet we are in a fallen, broken world. And by chapter 3 in the Word of God, that is clear. We see the reality of Satan and sin and death. And so it should be no surprise to us that we are, in fact, in a fight. We are in a fight. Jesus frees us from sin and death and Satan, thanks be to God. But he doesn't immediately take us out of this world. In fact, he says, in this world, we will have trouble. He says, we must deny ourselves. We must take up our cross, follow him, lay down our lives, be last, not first. Watch and wait until his return. Brothers and sisters, God tells us in his word that we are to expect this life, even with all of the blessings in Christ, we are to expect it to be hard, to be a fight. There's no way around it. But he empowers us for that fight. He prepares us for it, and he equips us for it. He even says here in 1 Timothy 6 that it's a good fight. A good fight. And so I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to be encouraged in this fight. While we are still on earth, for his glory and for our own good, you are the church militant. You are in a fight, not for long, not forever, but now, here on earth, you are in a fight. And so, people of God, you need to see tonight that God calls you now, while you're on earth, to fight. And to recognize that this is a good fight, and it is the fight of faith. God calls you now to fight the good fight of faith. Whether you're old or young, whether you're men, women, or children, all of us are called to fight this fight. Well, let's look more closely at this together, at verse 12. And I want us to consider why it's a fight, why it's a good fight, and then finally, why it's a fight of faith. And so first of all, we need to know that we are called to a fight. We are in a fight. Look again with me at verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. The Christian life, brothers and sisters, is a fight. Now, some might say, well, yes, Pastor, but 1 Timothy was actually written to Timothy, a man of God, a first century pastor. It wasn't written to me. And that's true that this letter is to Timothy, the young pastor, but it is here in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, because it is God's word for the church of every age. It's God's word for you and I. It is for our faith and instruction. And the character and the graces called for in Timothy and called for in the leaders of the church here are really what every believer is called to. Are pastors called especially to fight? Yes, undoubtedly. But this is not a fight for them alone. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6. He wrote to the whole church there, and he calls all the believers to fight in God's strength with his armor. He called Archippus, his fellow Christian, in Philemon verse 2. He called him a fellow soldier. And we're going to see more verses that talk about this fight tonight. The Christian life, according to the Bible, is a fight. All Christians, all those in Jesus Christ, must fight. You are fellow soldiers. But why? Why call the Christian life a fight? Well, many reasons could be given, but it's a fight, first of all, because we are at war. We are at war first with Satan. Satan is a real, active enemy, and that is clear in Scripture from early on. We're told in James 4, verse 7, to resist him. And that's a military term that's used there. Oppose him. Get ready to fight him. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10 says we are to be watchful. And that word there is also a military term. We are to be on guard like soldiers because he's active and harmful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We're in a fight because Satan wants to destroy us, because he's in a fight against us. We're also at war with the world, not the physical created world, but that which is opposed to God, which is opposed to God's truth and his people. Jesus said in John 15, the world hates us because they hated him. The world attacks the truth of God and the gospel, and we must fight against that. Paul just warned Timothy in chapter 6 against false teachers, against things like the love of money. And we must fight against the world, which is not neutral, but is opposed to God, opposed to his ways and his wisdom. We need to fight to resist the lies and the subtle pull of the world. We are in a fight to carry the gospel, the truth, into this dark world. The Christian life is also a fight because we're still at war with the flesh, with the remaining sin in us, our sinful nature. And the process of sanctification, becoming more holy, more like Jesus Christ, is by God's grace and is by faith. But we are not passive in sanctification. God works in us and we work out our salvation. In fact, we are at war. Repeatedly in the Scriptures, we are called to put sin to death, to mortify the flesh, to kill that which is earthly in us. And so we are at war. We're in a fight with our sinful nature. We are in a fight. And we could go on and on giving reasons and more verses for why the Christian life can be called a fight. And so Paul calls Timothy to fight, and he calls you and I to fight as well. And the word in your Bibles that's used for this fight is interesting and significant. Literally, it's in the Greek, fight the good fight is agonizu, the good agona. Agonizu, the good agona. Now, I say that so that you can hear there in the Greek our English word for agony. Agony. Do you hear the resemblance? Well, an agon was an athletic or military contest, a battle, a fight. could have been a boxing match or a race or an actual fight in war. And if you competed in an agon, you would agonizomai, the verb form of that. You would fight, struggle, agonize, strive as an athlete or a soldier, fight to win, fight until the end. And I wonder if you and I think about the Christian life in that way. Agony. The agony of war, the agony of exertion and difficulty. Friends, unless you realize this, that this is the Christian life, it is agony, it is a fight. Unless you realize this, you're missing part of the biblical picture of who you are and what you are to be about as Christians. And you do that to your own danger and discouragement. Now, Satan knows this. He wants you and I to think that we're really not in a fight. It's not all that serious. It's not war. He wants us to let our guard down. He wants us not to agonize, not to work real hard at this, not to fight. He wants us to relax and coast, to seek ease and pleasure. But brothers and sisters, that is not what God calls you to. That's not what God tells you. You are in a fight. You are called to fight. This is not my idea. This is not my imagination. This is God's word. And this is so important, friends, because life will be a fight. Life will be hard. We were reminded of that this morning in 1 Samuel 30. Death and disease will shock and overwhelm us. Sin will rear its ugly head. Satan will tempt us and distort the truth. The world and its pleasures and entertainment and wisdom will seek to win us over. It will fight against us. And if you're not in fighting shape spiritually, if you're not in fighting mindset, if you don't keep this at the forefront of your mind, you will be overwhelmed and discouraged. You'll be caught off guard. You'll want to give up. You'll be drawn to the world. But if you are in Christ, then you need to know that you are called to be His soldier. You are in a fight. But there's more to this fight. There's good news, because second, this evening, it is a good fight. It is a good fight. I want us to think about that for a little bit next. Look again to verse 12. It doesn't just say fight the fight. It says fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. How in the world could agony, war, fighting, pain and suffering be called good? Why does Paul have to use this word, the good fight? How can we not balk at this, but rather see it as good as well? Well, I can imagine Paul taking Timothy with him, this young pastor, one-on-one, and mentoring him and describing the Christian life to him and the Christian ministry and saying, Timothy, it's a fight. It's a lifelong battle. And Paul viewed his own life that way. In fact, he wrote another letter to Timothy, one of his last before he died, and he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. But I can see Paul describing the fight to Timothy, himself bearing the scars, literal scars, of fighting, and saying, Timothy, you've got to be a soldier. Jesus is going to call you to fight. But Timothy, I want you to remember this. It is a good fight. Timothy, it is hard, but it is good. It is all worth it. I would do it all over again. It is good. Why is it good? Why is it beautiful, honorable? Wouldn't it be better for God to bless us with heaven now, or with full joy and peace, and take us out of the battle? Well, God still has work for us. The new heavens and the new earth have not yet arrived. In God's plan and His wisdom and in His timing, the end of all things still awaits. Glory still awaits. We have so much already, but there is much still to come. And yet this fight we're in is good for many reasons. And I'm not going to mention all of them, but I want to mention a few reasons why we can think about this fight tonight as good. First of all, it is good. It is a good fight because of who we fight with and who we fight for. Jesus Christ is who we are fighting for and fighting with. He is our commander and king, and he has promised to be with us until the end of the age. He's given us his Holy Spirit to always be with us. We are not alone. We fight his fight that he has called us to, and it's a privilege to fight for him. We need to remember who we fight for and that we are not alone. We also have each other. We don't fight as individual soldiers. We fight with the church corporately, the church militant. It's also a good fight because it's actually good for us. Fighting this fight is good for us. Fighting sin and Satan and the world is evidence of God's grace in us. If we belong to the world, if we were still dead in our sins, we would not and we could not fight. And so this fight that we're in assures us of God having called us into his service. God breaking the power of sin in our lives. Being at work in us to make us more useful and beautiful and like Christ. Fighting makes us better fighters. The more we fight, the more we learn about the fight. It humbles us. It toughens us. It produces endurance and greater faith and strength and wisdom. It brings glory to God as we fight as his soldiers, as we seek to extend his kingdom by his strength. It makes us more and more like Jesus Christ. It's also good because this fight is not forever. And it doesn't last all that long in comparison to eternity. It's not forever, and we know the outcome. We know the end of the story. And in comparison with eternity, our remaining time in the fight is so short, it is not worth comparing. It is light and momentary compared with the glory and endlessness of eternity. Paul talks about that elsewhere. It's also a good fight because it's a fight that we know we will certainly win. Victory is certain. The fatal blow has been dealt to sin and death by Jesus Christ, and he is risen. We are just awaiting the finishing off, the final victory at his return. And it's so easy to forget that the difficult, long, hard fight of the Christian life will end soon, and it will end in full joy and eternal life. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. Look at the rest of verse 12. Verse 12 goes on to say, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. That means you have been called to and given life forever in Jesus Christ. Take hold of that. Claim that. Lay hold of it now. Don't sit back and be complacent. You have eternal life. Apprehend that now, even as you wait for it in full. Don't tap out. Don't slacken. Fight to the end. Are you in a fight? Yes. Is it easy? No. But is it good? Is this a good fight that God has called you to? Yes. And so, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Don't shrink from this fight. Don't be shocked when you find yourself in the fight. Don't be surprised by it. Calvin, who suffered and fought bravely in this fight, once wrote, commenting on this verse, he said, "For if earthly soldiers do not hesitate to fight when the result is doubtful and there's a risk of being killed, how much more bravely ought we to do battle under the guidance and banner of Christ when we are certain of victory? More especially since a reward awaits us, a glorious immortality and heavenly blessedness. It would certainly be disgraceful that we, who have such a hope held out to us, should grow weary or give way." Brothers and sisters, don't give up. This is a good fight. Think of your life in Christ. Speak of your life in Christ this way. A good fight. And then that leads us, third and finally this evening, to consider that it is a fight of faith. It is not a fist fight. It's not a fight ultimately against flesh and blood. It's not a fight in the ways of the world. It is a fight of faith. Look once more at verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. If it just said, fight the good fight, we would be tempted to try to fight it in our own strength and in our own ways. But it says, fight the good fight of the faith. Brothers and sisters, this good fight is a fight of faith. It's not a fight against flesh and blood. It's not a fight against other people. It's not the fight of sight, enemies that we can see. It's not the fight of our own strength and wisdom and tactics. It is a fight of faith. And what is faith? Faith is knowing and receiving and resting in God and in His truth, in Jesus Christ. We do not fight by feeling, but by faith, by facts, by the faith, by God's Word, by the Gospel. And that's hard because it's easier for us to fight what we can see and feel. But we walk by faith. We fight by faith, not by sight. We fight by the facts of the Gospel, that God loves us, God saves us and forgives us through Jesus Christ, that He is King and Creator and Lord, not Satan, that this world is made by Him and for Him. By faith, we cling to Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the one who is with us by the Holy Spirit. By faith, we know and remember that He is reigning and He is winning, even when it doesn't look that way or feel that way. By faith, we trust that He is interceding for us right now, helping us right now in the fight, and He will never leave us and never lose us. By faith, we trust that He will return at just the right time to make all things right and make all things new, to finish the fight in full victory. By faith, we fight on, trusting that He will one day raise us and all His people and wipe away every tear. When we take our eyes off of these facts of the faith, off of Him, the objects of our faith, we can start to lose heart in this fight. We can start to fight by other means, by our own strength. And we can falter and get discouraged and think that we can't go on. We act on what we can see and what we feel, not on what God has said and who He is. Friends, fighting by faith means we find our strength and our help and our protection in the Lord. In the armor of God passage in Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Because this is a fight of faith, it can be fought by all, young and old, weak and strong, the faint, the simple, at all times. God's strength and God's means for this fight are available to all and to everyone, everywhere. Does your faith falter? Is it weak at times? Ask God to strengthen your faith and grow it. Look more to Him than to your own faith. Focus on the trustworthiness of God, His power, His promises. Realize that faith grows as it is exercised, as it is put to work in trials and in the fight and the battle. Do all that you can to learn the faith once delivered to the saints, the Word of God, the Gospel. It's also a fight of faith because the weapons that we use in this fight are weapons of faith. 2 Timothy 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. God gives us spiritual weapons that we hold not with our hands, but with our heads and our hearts in faith. And His weapons are what we need in this fight. They're what we read of in Ephesians 6. His weapons are His truth, His righteousness, the gospel, the complete salvation in Jesus Christ, the word of God as a sword, prayer at all times with perseverance. If you're trying to fight this fight without prayer, without the word of God, without the gospel, without the righteousness and salvation of God, without the church, without fellow soldiers around you, without God's weapons and means, you are not really fighting by faith. Ephesians 6 goes on and says, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one for this fight. Satan hurls a lot of darts at us. He is fighting. He is fighting us. Think about the darts that he might hurl at us. Doubt, guilt, discouragement, grief, temptation, the world's lusts and pleasures, simple unbelief. These are flaming darts. And kids, think about that picture of flaming darts. They're flaming darts, which meant they were dipped in tar and set on fire before they were shot. So then they would strike a target, and they would not just pierce that target, but they would catch it on fire, and it would be engulfed in flames and slowly burn and inflict more damage. But faith in God and His promises is like a shield that blocks those flaming darts, that shields us and even puts out that flame. And so to carry on and survive in this fight requires a good shield, the shield of faith. It is a fight of faith. Faith against unbelief, lies, all that is contrary to Jesus Christ and to the gospel and to truth. And there's really no fight and no fighter without faith. So people of God, fight by faith. Once again, this is an encouragement because God and His gospel, His strength and His grace, all that faith clings to is freely given, is open to all who receive them, who believe. God works in you by His grace and His Spirit, the very faith that He calls you to have. And so ask Him for this faith. Look to Him, look to His Word and His promises, His Son, and believe, and you can fight this fight. Put your faith in Him, and you will be equipped for the fight of faith. You will be able to press on. Well, brothers and sisters, God, I think it's clear, God tells you that you are soldiers, that you are in a fight. But it is a good fight. It's a fight of faith. And I hope you can see why it is a good fight of faith a little bit more this evening as we've spent some time here. But we need to do more than just recognize that. We need to do more than just understand this about the Christian life. We need to be in it. We need to be in the fight. Don't miss the imperative here, the command from your captain in verse 12. The verb, fight. You are called to fight. You're enabled, encouraged to do so because it is a good fight of faith. Fought by God's truth and His strength to His glory in His presence. Brothers and sisters, have you answered that call to fight? Are you in the fight? Are you fighting? Will you fight? How are you fighting? Are you weary and afraid? Do you feel like you can no longer fight? Have you been fighting in your own ways and in your own strength? Friends, look to the Lord. He who calls you to fight will strengthen you for the fight. He will be with you in it. He will bring you through it. He will bring victory. He will return and reward you. We need to be on guard against assuming life will get easier or the fight will slacken or ease. We need to be on guard against letting our guard down. Rather, we should assume God will give us more strength to fight harder and fight smarter and to keep fighting, to press on as long as He sees fit. But friends, don't forget who you are fighting for. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Remember who you're fighting for. Remember the words of Romans 8. Nothing will separate you from Jesus Christ. And through all things, through all difficulties, through the fight, you are more than conquerors through Him who loved you. Brothers and sisters, fellow soldiers in Christ, God calls you to fight. He calls you not to give up, but to press on, to fight on for and by Him, to fight the good fight of the faith. And I want to close with the words of J.C. Ryle as he reflected on this fight. Just listen to what he had to say as we close. Let us remember that the time is short. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. A few more battles and the last trumpet shall sound, and the Prince of Peace shall come to reign on a renewed earth. A few more struggles and conflicts, and then we shall bid an eternal goodbye to warfare and to sin, to sorrow and to death. And let us fight on to the last and never surrender. Thus saith the captain of our salvation, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for calling us to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you for giving us the strength in Jesus Christ to do this. Lord, thank you that you've called us out of the world. And that is the reason why we are in this fight. You've called us to life in Jesus Christ. You've forgiven our sins. And you are slowly freeing us from them, calling us to fight them and to put them to death, looking forward to that day when Christ will return and give us eternal life forever, no longer to fight. And so, Lord, encourage us in this fight. We are weary at times in this fight. Keep our eyes fixed on our captain and our king who has gone before us and has fought the good fight himself and has been victorious. Give us faith because this is a fight not of our own strength, not a fight against flesh and blood, but it is the fight of faith. Lord, remind us that it is a good fight. It will not last forever. You will return and you will bring us to you in glory. And so keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we pray all this in His name. Amen.